Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, game on. Game on. Oh, nope, there's a car coming. Game off. Game off. I'm reminded of the Wayne's World movie once again. For those of you Gen Z folks listening to the show, you apologize if you don't get the reference. Yeah, it was a 1990s thing. But, yeah, Wayne and Garth. Remember when in the Wayne's World movie, they're out in the street just like kids used to always do in the 80s and 90s. We'd be playing basketball or floor hockey, whatever, out in the middle of the street. That's just what you did back in the day, right? Yeah, kids still do it now, but not as much as we did back in the 80s and 90s. But anyway, you're out. So here's Wayne and Garth, and they're out there playing floor hockey. And then all of a sudden, the car comes. Game off. All right, and then the car gets past him. Game on. Well, it's been game off now for several years. You are not supposed to ask the question, who is paying for all this stuff? Who is funding these outfits? Who is funding the American Prairie Reserve, which is trying to kick all these ranchers off the land here in Montana? Not just trying, they've already been doing it to a certain extent. Who is funding all these anti-Semitic, hateful protests and riots on these college campuses? Who is funding all the COVID-19 lockdown propaganda? Who's funding all these dark money groups on the left here in Montana? Whether it's an organization called Forward Montana or some of these radical environmental groups that are constantly trying to shut down your forest health project, or they're suing you in court to try to do away with voter ID laws in Montana, or it's these liberal white guys that fund a group called Western Native Voice to try to interfere in the elections here in Montana. You know, a bunch of out-of-state liberal white guys that call themselves Western Native Voice, and then they inject money locally. Oh, who's funding all these groups? You weren't supposed to say that, because if you said it, George Soros, Hans-Jörg Wyss, Rockefeller, Bill Gates and his foundation, if you said that, oh, that's a conspiracy, you are not allowed to say that. But apparently now it's game on. Game on, because see, some folks in big media, they're finally outraged at some of the rioting that's occurring because of just how hateful these attacks have been on Jewish students. So Politico had this big report about how you might be surprised to find out that Joe Biden's biggest donors are the same people that are funding these campus protests and riots. It's like, no, we're not surprised. We're not surprised at all. It's been blatantly obvious. Who do you think was funding the BLM riots? Who do you think funds all of these attacks here in America? Constantly trying to divide this country along racial lines, gender lines, sociocultural lines, you name it. Anyway, we'll tell you about that report and much more. Phone lines are open for you for the full hour. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Actually, this is the least surprising news we have heard all year. Kaya Raichik, she is the founder of the Libs of TikTok account, and she was responding to this headline at Politico over the weekend. Pro-Palestinian protesters are backed by a surprising source, Biden's biggest donors. And she says, this is actually the least surprising thing I have heard all year. Yeah, as the Daily Caller summarizes here, a new report from Politico Sunday revealed that donors like Bill Gates, George Soros, David Rockefeller Jr., and Nick Pritzker are supporting these organizations. And I don't call them pro-Palestinian protests. These are not pro-Palestinian protests, if you ask me. I've been fortunate enough to drink Turkish coffee in Israel with Palestinians, with Arabs that live in Israel, and they love living in Israel. It's safe. They're able to run for office and have representation there. Do you think they want to be run by these Hamas terrorists? Of course not. So, of course, there are many Palestinians that do not want to be run by the Hamas terrorists. Unfortunately, that is who is running the Gaza Strip, and that is exactly who these protests are enabling, these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer rallies that we're seeing on all of these college campuses. Politico reported here, David Rockefeller Jr., who sits on the board of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, in 2022, the fund gave $300,000 to the Tides Foundation, which is given to all these, you know, pro-Hamas sympathizer groups. Several other groups involved in these protests are backed by a foundation funded by Susan and Nick Pritzker, heirs to the Hyatt Hotel Empire. And then, of course, there's more here about the Rockefeller Fund. The Rockefeller Fund even gave money to an organization which blamed Israel and the U.S. for the October 7th Hamas terror attacks instead of the actual Hamas terrorists that are in charge of the Gaza Strip right now. I've documented already on this show from reporting with the New York Post and Fox News and elsewhere about, you know, all of the money that George Soros has been given to these organizations. But yeah, it's just kind of funny, as was pointed out in these tweets that were compiled by the dailycaller.com, is that nobody is surprised by the fact that some of the very same wealthy mega donors that are, by the way, not only supporting Joe Biden's campaign, but they're supporting Democrat Senator John Tester's campaign here in Montana, are also the very same Democrat Party mega donors that are funding these anti-Semitic protests and riots that have been taking place on so many of these college campuses across the country. I want to talk about another angle to the Rural Revolution via X.com said this. It's crazy that pointing out these funders were behind things was a conspiracy theory just a few years ago. Now Politico is reporting it. But there's another angle I want to take on this. I got an email from Bob in Lewistown talking about Hans-Jörg Wies. Hans-Jörg Wies funds all of the environmental groups here in Montana, all these radical ones anyway. He was also a key early backer of the APR, which is trying to kick ranchers off the land here in Montana. His name came up in a hearing last week. I want to play a portion of that audio for you. But first, let's jump into your phone calls. 406-294-0970 is the number. We've got phone lines open for you right now, by the way, if you want to call in. Gary in Billings, first up. Good to hear from you, Gary.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. Judge Huron just said that the fines are not working on Donald Trump, so the next step is put him in jail. And I, as a person that believes in fear, I hope that he does put Donald Trump in jail and get the people behind Donald Trump, not the power of that liberal judge who is trying to show his authority, but he should be out to lunch.
So, yeah, so apparently this judge is now threatening. I might have missed it in the Fox News update at the top of the hour on the local radio station here. But this Judge Marchand is now threatening to put Trump in jail because of this gag order that he placed on the presidential candidate, huh?
Yeah. See, Donald Trump cannot speak without this judge trying to control the situation. It's a power play for him. To, as I see it, but we have to have Donald Trump to save our country. And if this judge continues to put him in jail or threaten to do that, there will be a riot.
Well, their side it does hundreds of riots. It's like a daily occurrence for their side. But you think if they put Trump in jail, that Trump supporters would riot? I don't know. I think what you said about how it would actually help Donald Trump even further, I think it would. I think even though they've been locking him down in the courtroom where he basically gets to go campaign on the weekends and maybe gets to campaign on a Wednesday, it's fueling his campaign even further, that the more they persecute Trump, the more they seem to propel Trump right back towards the presidency is what it kind of seems like, right?
Yeah, but let's look at the situation that it's all about keeping him from being president. Joe Biden and laptop Tester, they can do anything they want. But when Donald Trump stands up for us, think about the pressure that he goes through every day being attacked and attacked. Now, he could just take his weapon, you know, go play golf.
That's right. But instead, he continues to stand up to their attacks despite the personal cost. All right, Gary, thanks for the call. Quick break.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, to that point that Gary and Billings just made, and Gary, thanks for calling in. The phone number for you, 406-294-0970. If you want to call in, if you agree, if you disagree, if you got something else you want to talk about, a great way to cover a lot of ground is when we open up the phone lines for you, 294-0970. But Lara Trump was on Sunday Morning Futures yesterday morning with Maria Bartiromo, and to the point that Gary and Billings just made, the more they go after Trump, the more they persecute Trump, the stronger his campaign becomes. Listen to what Lara Trump had to say yesterday.
We raised $76 million. And the beauty of that is the average donation, Maria, is under $30. That means the people of this country understand what's at stake. They understand what is happening to this man, this lawfare that is being waged against him in an attempt to interfere in an election. And they are fighting back. Even in the midst of this abysmal economy that Joe Biden has handed us, people are donating their money, DonaldJTrump.com, if anybody wants to support us, because they understand what is at stake right now. So you're right. We get the weekends and we get Wednesdays typically with Donald Trump, the candidate, to go out and campaign. But he does these incredible stops. He goes, as you just pointed out, to the bodega in Harlem and gets a crowd Joe Biden couldn't even dream of. He goes and interacts with the FDNY, with construction workers at 6:30 in the morning. It is earned media that Joe Biden will never get. He cannot do these kind of stops because no one will show up for him.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I think that ties right in with what Gary and Billings had to say. Got an email from Bob in Lewistown that I want to share with you, and it goes back to these dark money groups that are running our government. But first, let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, if we just connect the dots, you know, going back to the early 60s, I latched on to Nundia College Reason by Stormer. And in that book, I come across the word gag, you know, and that was part of the World Justice Court, and they try to incorporate that in our system here. But there was a senator, Connally from Texas, and he put a kibosh on that, you know, with the wording domestic, what's domestic and what's what is not. So you've got a problem here that people in the colleges, they're not reading these books. They probably don't even have this book. Would be so vital in shaping their mindset on what this country's all about and, you know, where it comes from. Things don't change. This judge down there and with Trump, he knows this. And he's part of this whole international court of justice system that wants this world court. Now, you can't have that. That's why Donald Trump is so smart. He knows that you can't do it. It's unconstitutional, and it is unconstitutional. But these people are still forcing these kinds of stuff on our system because we're ignorant and we don't understand where this stuff comes from. The gag order is something that is put on the citizens and on the press. Now you got to understand that this book is just chock full of stuff that is happening today, and it's unfortunate that we're just, you know, victims of it. And that's what's happening know, Aaron. They're just going to continue.
Well, too many of these college campuses are run by the very campus radicals from the 60s. I mean, some of the people who are spitting on our Vietnam veterans and mistreating our Vietnam veterans, they're the people who run some of these left-wing college campuses. And
that's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
That's exactly where it's coming from. But if you connect the dots and you go back as far as I can go and realize that, you know, I was there in the 60s down in San Diego, and I know what it was like there. I know the kind of propaganda that they were pushing on. I was a Boy Scout at the end, so it was totally opposite of what I was thinking. So this book is so vital, and if you can get it today, anybody should get this book and use it as a document history. So you've got to be informed.
What was the name of the book again, Chris?
All over again.
What was the name
no
of the
matter
book?
What we do, we're not going to make it.
Chris, what was the name of the book again?
John Stormer's book, Nandir Call It Treason.
Okay, great. All right. Hey, well, thank you for very much for calling in. You know, that's why I found this report in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning so interesting. This was a Evelyn Pyburn shared a report from National Public Radio. Gen Z shuns college. So Generation Z, members of the so-called Generation Z, are rethinking the need to go to college. I mean, think about it. We've had too many kids going to college for a four-year liberal arts degree. Now, for some kids, that makes perfect sense. It's a great path for them, but not for all kids, right? We've talked at length about how we need more trades education. Well, more and more kids these days are getting it. Apparently, they're being called the tool belt generation, as half of them are discovering they can get well-paying jobs and learn a skill without going to college and without the crushing debt of getting a college diploma. College enrollment has been declining over the last 10 to 15 years, according to a survey by New America, a Washington think tank. And likewise, enrollment in vocational-focused community colleges has increased 16% from 2022 to 2023. And so I think this is good news. It shows that kids aren't just going down the path they think they're supposed to go down, which can lead to just debt and maybe not a good job on the other end in all times. But I think also, like, what has ended up happening is these massive educational institutions have gotten a massive amount of money, of your money, and then they use it to push this radical agenda. That's what we're seeing on display at Columbia and some of these other campuses right now. Let's see. Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 294-0970. You know, one of the big funders of all of the left-wing groups on the University of Montana campus, I opened up the show this hour by talking about George Soros and Bill Gates and Rockefeller, all funding these anti-Semitic groups that are protesting and rioting on these college campuses. And of course, it's not a surprise to anybody that the very same people that are campaigning for Joe Biden and John Tester are also funding these anti-Semitic protests. They're also the same people oftentimes that fund these radical environmental groups. Hans-Jörg Wyss, you've heard me mention him before. Hans-Jörg Wyss is a foreign Swiss billionaire. He lives in Wyoming. He's funded the American Prairie Reserve to kick ranchers off the land. He funds all sorts of radical environmental groups. He also funds several environmental initiatives at the University of Montana in Missoula. His name came up in a Senate hearing last week. That brings me to Bob in Lewistown's email. Bob sent me this email from Lewistown. He says, Aaron, I know you're behind in your emails. Did you see Josh Hawley? Senator Hawley out of Missouri asking Department of Interior Secretary about dark money. Towards the end, he makes some revealing statements about Hans-Jörg Wyss. It reveals how one of his dark money groups meets off the books with the Department of Interior and gets mining operation leases canceled. Anyway, he says, makes me think of the APR and other dark money groups, the green decoy groups with names sounding like sportsman groups, etc. He's exactly right. Francis in Big Fork, I'll get to your call here in just a second, but here's a little of that back and forth between Josh Hawley and Interior Secretary Deb Haaland. Remember, eco-terrorist Tracy Stone Manning is in charge of the BLM right now. And remember, she's also the person giving special perks to the Hans-Jörg Wyss-funded American Prairie Reserve. All right, let's jump right back into it here. We've got... Hold on, that was an interview I did with Sam Faddis talking about the WHO. I wanted to cue that up here. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. Josh Hawley. All right, here it is. Here it is.
Is it common practice at your department to meet with dark money groups off the books and conceal it from the public?
Senator, thank you for the question. And of course, I can't answer to if you're referring to our former deputy secretary. He's no longer at the department.
Who works for you?
He worked for the president. He was appointed by the president.
He's your deputy secretary. Are you the secretary of the Department of Interior? I thought that's why you were here. Are you the secretary? Don't look at her. Look at me.
Yes.
Are you the secretary?
I am.
Do these people who are sitting here today answering most of your questions, do they work for you?
They work.
Do they report for you? You're not in charge?
They work with me.
They work with you. So you're not in charge of the department. Oh, my gosh. I thought you were in charge. I thought that's why you were here.
We work as a team.
Oh, okay. So who's in charge then?
I provide the vision. I provide the overall direction.
But you're not in charge.
Our mission.
Do you take responsibility for what happens at the Department of the Interior?
I take responsibility.
Do you take full responsibility for what happens at the Department of the Interior? Good. Then why are your leadership meeting with dark money groups and concealing it from the public? Why are they doing it off the books? How many times has this happened?
Senator, this is the first I'm hearing of this. My deputy secretary is no longer there, and I can't answer to what he did when he was there.
What did they get out of it, do you suppose? What do you suppose Hans-Jörg Weiss got out of you canceling the leases after they asked you to?
I don't know who.
In an off the books reading.
I don't know who this individual.
Oh, sure. I mean, you don't know. You're not in charge. You're not responsible. We have a corruption problem in this government, Madam Secretary. And frankly, we have a corruption problem in your department.
Exactly. He's exactly right. Why do you think the BLM didn't care what the ranchers in Malta and in Phillips County had to say? Because there's off the books meeting. They're in bed with Hans-Jörg Weiss, Tracy Stone Manning, the whole crew. He's exactly right. All right, let's go to Francis in Big Fork. What's on your mind, young lady?
Well, I think that Christy Nolan was saying that she was going to talk to the colleges in South Dakota. And she was going to tell them that they cannot have rioters sitting on their place, or she'll defund them.
That's great.
And I think that's what Jim Forte should do, too. Just say, we are not going to put up with this crap. They can protest, but they cannot sit there.
They can't
have tents or anything like that. And so if we be tough, and we can be, because we don't have to support these universities, we could cut them down to about nothing.
That's right. Hold that thought, Francis. We'll come back to you after the break.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA says that all ground beef samples sent to the National Veterinary Services Laboratory for testing were negative for H5N1 bird flu virus. The agency collected 30 samples of ground beef from retail outlets in states where dairy cattle herds tested positive for bird flu. The National Laboratory reported that all samples tested negative for the virus. These results reaffirm that the meat supply chain is safe, USDA reports. The Food and Drug Administration says preliminary results of testing additional dairy products continue to show that pasteurization inactivates the bird flu virus. The FDA has tested 297 total retail samples of pasteurized dairy products, and the results released last week represent tests on 201 of those samples to date. But the news that all the beef samples that were tested for H5N1 bird flu were negative is a big sigh of relief for the nation's cattle producers who were concerned about export restrictions from our key trading partners. Again, those beef samples came back negative for bird flu. Last week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had this to say during a bill signing.
Take your fake lab-grown meat elsewhere. We're not doing that in the state of Florida.
DeSantis signed a bill banning the sale or production of lab-grown meat in the state of Florida just last week. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Francis in Big Fork, were you able to stay with us through the break? Are you still there, Francis?
Yes, I am.
Hey, great. And well, one thing I wanted to say and then come back to you as well is, you know, I agree with you. I think the message from Governor Kristi Noem, similar message that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sent. Texas has been more aggressive in going after these rioters as well, or these encampments. I agree with you. If they try to set up camp or they get violent on our Montana University campuses, go after them, shut them down. And I wonder if that message was communicated, because I do feel like, you know, at the University of Montana, for example, they had about 60 people show up for their pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizer rally. Now, while they might have said some anti-Semitic remarks, of course, you know, this is America. People have free speech rights. I think the university and the governor, they must be in communication where they're making it clear, hey, don't let these guys get out of hand, because that certainly has been the case so far, I think.
So far, yeah. They did protested that one time, as far as I know.
Well, they've done some other stuff here and there. In Missoula, these pro-Hamas sympathizers, they started protesting back in October. I mean, it was like 2 weeks after 1,400 innocent people were slaughtered, and they were already protesting in support of the Hamas. I mean, it's outrageous.
You know why? Because, like, when Obama was in, he said they only had 60 mosques in the United States. And then afterwards, he says, I'm so proud. We have 200 now. So that tells you where all these Hamas guys are coming from, are from all these imported people that they just dumped in.
Borders matter.
In Grand Forks, they had 2,000 people all of a sudden show up. Fargo, 5,000, you know.
Yeah, borders matter, don't they, Francis? I mean, you look at Lebanon, just north of Israel. Lebanon was a peaceful country. It was a predominantly Christian country. At open borders, demographics matter. And then look, now it's a safe haven for terrorist activity. All right, Francis, great to hear from you. Thanks for sticking around. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Lyle in Malta. Lyle, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just wanted to call in. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and remember when we came back from Vietnam, we had the rioters there spitting on us and throwing things at us. And anyway, I just listened to this thing on there's a guy named Kelly that's on First News. I don't know if you're familiar with that news show. It's on, we get it on.
Kind of like an early morning radio news program, right?
Yeah, it's on Roku. Anyway, the guy said, well, you guys have to realize there's two communist parties in the United States. There's the elite communist and the street communist. And the elite communist, their job is to produce the money, and the street communist, that's the ones they pay to riot. And I just got to thinking, I wonder what them guys got, like, at Columbia for rioting there for a week. I bet they got $1,000 apiece, and they probably don't have a job besides that. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Like, I remember in the early 2000s, late 90s, they had all remember the WTO protesters, the World Trade Organization protesters? So I was going to Howard University at the time and waiting tables practically full time, and then running back and forth from Capitol Hill a little bit before I started working in the Senate. And I remember these WTO protesters, and basically, like, if we were to jump in a time machine and go back 24 plus or so years, you would not be able to tell the difference between the uppity, white, liberal, violent, Antifa-style protesters of the WTO protests compared to the BLM rioters of 2020, compared to the anti-Semitic rioters of 2024. It's like the same crowd of these left-wing activists, and they've probably been funded by the same people. It's like, what's the Baskin-Robbins flavor of the month going to be next month, right?
I don't know. But there's always same thing, different day.
That's right. Or same Adam Schiff, different day, as you might have said in Vietnam, yeah. Right? Well, God bless you.
That last name wrong.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your service. I mean, welcome home to you and all our Vietnam veterans. I just can't believe how you were treated. It's and so many of us Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. I mean, the reason we've been treated so well is because of men and women like you that weren't treated that well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you now.
All right, Lyle, thank you. No, God bless you. Great to hear from you. And I think how cool it is that if you were to drive through Malta right now, they've got those service members honored on those light poles, don't they? Pictures, a little bit of biographical information and more. And it's so cool to see. While we're on that topic, I talk about how well, you know, I'm a post 9/11 veteran. So I served in Iraq and Afghanistan and then and elsewhere. And just look at what took place this weekend, just to make my point. It's because of Vietnam veterans like Lyle in Malta there that we get treated so well, that we got treated so well, that we have what we have, and especially our fellow Iraq and Afghanistan veterans just this weekend. And welcome home to the soldiers in the Montana Army National Guard's 1889th RSG, the Regional Support Group. Somebody asked a very good question on the Flathead 411 Facebook page Saturday. What's with all the flags lining the highway towards Kyla? And a gentleman named Paul Rivera had the answer. He said this: soldiers successfully returning from Iraq today. We did 200 flags for about 3 miles on his route home. 200 flags for 3 miles to welcome this soldier home after how many years we've been in Iraq now. That's absolutely incredible. And just a great show of support. And then while our friends in the Flathead welcomed home a returning soldier in Kyla, there were more welcome home ceremonies in Great Falls and Helena. As the Montana National Guard reports, soldiers of the 1889th RSG returned to Montana over the course of the weekend following a 9-month deployment to Southwest Asia in support of Operation Inherent Resolve. And I've got a bunch of photos, including a photo of my buddy, my college buddy, Tom, making it home to his family in Great Falls. That was cool to see. But again, the reason why we have so much incredible support for our returning soldiers is because of you Vietnam veterans out there and your sacrifice. So again, God bless every single one of you. Tom in Billings next up on the phone lines. Tom, thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Real quick, just to educate some of your listeners, a president or a former president cannot pardon himself on anything other than a federal crime. He can't do it on a state charge. That's why they're holding this in New York, because he's going to lose the ability to pardon. But in the meantime, they want to put him in jail, and a Democrat senator from Mississippi is trying to redo the PPA, the Presidential Protection Act, to eliminate Secret Service for former presidents. So,
yeah, they don't even want Trump to have security. But it's not even just Donald Trump. They don't even want Robert F. Kennedy. They don't even want RFK Jr. to have security. God, it's like, you know, given right. The history of the Kennedy family, could you please at least provide some protection? I mean, come on.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too, is because Secret Service has to be 24/7, and they are armed. That's why they're trying to remove or change the PPA. So, but if we can charge Donald Trump, then maybe us Republicans should think of a really good state charge that doesn't have, that has an extended grace period to charge Joe Biden with a state charge, or at least get him to send a bunch of immigrants to Big Sandy. I don't know.
you know how quick some higher court would step in. How dare you try to bring a president of the United States into some local courtroom? Yeah, that's
well,
kind
they're
of the
doing
point.
It. They're doing it right now.
That's kind of the point. No, exactly right. Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Hey, by the way, you mentioned Secret Service. I got a buddy who was in my my National Guard unit back in the day. Great guy. He grew up in Libby, Montana. And he's a Secret Service agent, and he started his own coffee company, Adventurista Coffee Company, Adventurista. There you go. Anyway, so good stuff. I ordered some and brewed some up this weekend to get ready for 2 days of a volleyball tournament, because you need your caffeine for hanging out all day long. Great games, of course. But yeah. Anyway, let's see. Who do we got next? We got Willie in the Paradise Valley. Richard in Jordan. I just got to meet Richard last week, threw a photo out on social media. If you go to my Instagram page, I think on Instagram it's Aaron Flint MT, I think it's Aaron Flint MT. But either way, get to the callers right after this. 294-0970.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If we run out of time today, Friday morning on the show, if you listen Friday, you already got almost all the info anyway. But we do have some crazy new details regarding that story we talked about Friday, where the illegal aliens were dumped in Kalispell, Montana. Crazy new details. Got the full story at MontanaTalks.com, but you heard most of it on Friday. Yeah, but if you missed Friday's show, there you go. Willie in Paradise Valley, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I had a couple of things here. The one of them was there, like all the school board elections are important, and you were talking about some education issues early on here this morning. There are three guys running in Livingston area, and they've clustered them all, the three of them together. But to my knowledge, the Democrat Party's paying for all the posters and stuff to put their names out around town, and it's supposed to be bipartisan. It's like the Supreme Court, haha. But there's three of them in Livingston that are together, and they've got the same colored signs and everything out, so people need to do their homework on there. And I know one guy that is running that's not in that conflab is voted to get rid of the teacher, that kindergarten librarian or whatever she was, that brought the homosexual business in the third graders and didn't tell the parents or notify the school or nothing like that. He did vote against it. But these other three, I think one of them might be a new one, or the other one too, but they're all three together, and the Democrat Party is behind them. So,
one of my pet peeves here, kind of related but not directly tied to what you just brought up, Willie, is, okay, so absentee ballots for the June primary election, I think they get mailed out this Friday, which is crazy. So the primary election technically starts this Friday. That's the way I look at it, right? But when did you get your school election ballot in the mail? Maybe 2 weeks ago, something like that? At least
I already filled mine out.
Yeah. Why couldn't they mail both of them at the exact same stinking time? Why do we do these elections at different time? Just run the school elections and the city elections at the same time you do all the other elections. Why do we have to have this separate process, cost more money, and then anyway, that's just that's one bill from last legislative session that I wish would have gotten across the finish line.
Yeah, well, it's all about the cheating is what it amounts to, in my opinion. So,
well, I would say, well, whether you want to call it cheating, it's certainly about maneuvering. I think in the past, the teachers' unions and the school bureaucracy has wanted to keep it separate because they want fewer people to vote in the school elections. They want to just ram their kind of their folks through, and they want less participation. And I think we need to get more participation in our public schools, if you ask me. Willie, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 294-0970 is the number for you. Richard in Jordan. Hey, thanks for dropping by the studios last week. It was great to see you.
Hey, it was my pleasure, Aaron. Say, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. You being the journalistic kind of guy. Can you look into something? I was down in Billings this weekend, but I got a phone call from a buddy who is a truck driver up north in the state. He runs a route with his truck up there. And he said that he has seen that old Glasgow Air Force Base at St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, yeah.
There's been trucks and buses going in there lately, and he asked me what it's about. And I do know that way back, what was it, 3 years ago or something like that, right after Biden became president, they were talking about housing these refugees from Afghanistan in the Air Force Base here in Montana. And I never did hear anything more about that. And I'm wondering, did they reopen the St. Mary's housing facility there that was closed in 1976?
Well, you know, there's still a lot of people that live up there. It's pretty wild to drive around because you'll see like barren house, barren yard, overgrown yard. And then all of a sudden, boom, nice house, nice yard, and then a barren yard, barren house. I remember going to the old bowling alley with some friends. That was a fun little road trip up from Glasgow one summer. Or be able to find it. And then Boeing has used it as a training facility over the years. The Montana Guard has looked at doing training up there from time to time, too. Our buddy Kelly Seifert with the Buzz in Glasgow would be able to find out what the buzz on that front is all about. Well, hopefully he's usually listening, so maybe I'll get an email from him in like 5 minutes. But unfortunately, that will be after the show wraps up.
Right. You know, the one thing that caught my mind is he said that he's never seen Cisco and Food Services of America go in there. But he's been seeing them routinely go in there. Now, that's bulk food delivery.
Or a commercial supplier to like a new restaurant. Maybe there's a cool new restaurant there. We might have to go investigate. I don't know, but no, that's interesting.
Just curious if you can if you hear anything about that, I'd appreciate knowing.
Yeah, we'll see what Kelly knows or can find out maybe too. Or maybe I know we've got a ton of listeners in that neck of the woods that listen to KVCK out of Wolf Point, and then some folks, that also will send us messages on the app from time to time as well. So, hey, you never know, but you called the right place. If we're going to get an answer, this is where you're going to get it from, right? If not from me, from one of our listeners. That's how we roll around here. And isn't it funny? I do commentary. This is a talk show, right? But yet, why do we still end up breaking more news than the news? And why do we ask the questions they refuse to ask of some of these folks?